Are there any negative thoughts in your hearts and minds this morning? Is there anybody that you're mad at right now? Has anybody harmed you recently in ways that are so painful that you just can't stop thinking about it? It consumes your entire life. Maybe it happened recently, maybe it happened years ago, but you still feel that pain as if it just happened. We all get angry. But sometimes we get hurt in ways that just won't go away. So if you're thinking of a person or an event right now, the next question is for you. What would it be like to just forgive right now? And just say, I'm done letting this control my life. And be done with it. No questions asked. Maybe not even an apology from that person. To just say, I'm going to forgive them so I can move on. I know it's hard. But friends, you have authority over your emotions. To forgive or not can be a choice. Now, they might not deserve your forgiveness. I'm not here to determine that. But you deserve the benefits of forgiving them. A 2015 study shows that harboring negative emotions for too long can really have negative effects on your body, beginning with a strong connection with heart disease. The doctor cited in this study said that your chance of a heart attack are doubled in the first 2 hours after a major outburst. And that people who regularly allow their emotions to consume them are at twice the risk of coronary disease. Now, the heart is not the only part of our bodies negatively affected by emotions. The risk for stroke also doubles in the first 2 hours after a major outburst. And still beyond that, the study found that long-term emotions weaken the immune system, making it easier to get sick. It increases anxiety and contributes to depression and can even affect your breathing. So, now that we know that, the question is, what do we do about it, right? The key is to realize that nothing is bigger than God's grace. No amount of pain that you're feeling, no amount of harsh words that you heard are bigger than God's grace. Nobody telling you how worthless you are can ever outweigh God telling you you are worthy. I think God's opinion matters more, right? But what do we listen to? The negative. All the things that people don't like about us, that's what we listen to. That's what we remember. But God said, you are worthy, you are loved, you are my child. Isn't that enough? No life event can spoil God's grace in your life. So then the key is to find graceful ways to respond to your emotions. Now, realize I did not say don't get angry. That's impossible. We're human. I didn't tell you don't get angry because we're human and we're going to have human emotions. The key is to find graceful and healthy ways to respond to those emotions in an appropriate amount of time. Address situations as they arise. Don't let things fester. They only get worse down the road. Address them now, even if it's a painful emotion, even if you're angry. Address that anger right away and then leave it behind you. Move on. Do not let negativity and hostility build up and build up and build up until it completely consumes your life. Now, I know it's easy for an outsider to say. I know I wasn't there. I didn't feel that. I know. But sometimes it takes an outsider to bring you back to the middle and say, is this really all that your life is? Make a strong effort to prevent things from affecting you so much. As I said before, you have that authority. You have that control to say what is going to impact your life and what is not. We can ground ourselves in the good news and put things into perspective. We can forgive those who have hurt us, not for them, but for us. See, forgiveness is for us. It's not for the other person. Some people really, really want to be forgiven. That's them. Some could not care less if you forgive them or not. That's on them. You can only worry about you. We forgive to get it off our shoulders. We forgive to increase our health. We forgive so that that burden is removed from our spirit. The best way to avoid all those health risks is to address and resolve negative emotions as quickly as possible and in a healthy way. We do this by finding the grace of God in every situation. Now, this is not just about anger. This is any kind of negative emotion. This is fear. This is sadness. This is hopelessness. Any negative emotion should be addressed and addressed quickly and not buried. And that's where we enter into the gospel story. Mary found herself in a very stressful situation. And she realized that she had a choice of how she was going to respond to it. The angel Gabriel appeared to her. And I can only imagine the physical reaction she heard to these words. Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus, and he will be the Son of God. I can't even begin to imagine the amount of stress that she felt in that moment. The amount of fear. As a good Jewish woman, she would have known pretty quickly what this really meant. Like being told that out of nowhere you're going to have a baby is frightening and terrifying and joyful and happy all at the same time. It's a lot of different emotions. It's a lot. But imagine the moment she started connecting the dots that, oh, this means he's the Messiah. Oh, this means that all these things are going to happen. Imagine all that coming down on her in one moment. There have been points in your life, probably, where a succession of revelations happened in mere seconds. When I respond to pastoral events and I don't really know what's going on, I start to figure them out pretty quickly as I witness events. And sometimes in seconds, I can just go, oh. And the full revelation hits as you put the pieces together. Imagine Mary putting those pieces together. She knew what the scripture said about the Messiah. She knew, yes, that he would save the world and end oppression and free her people. But she also knew how that would happen. Imagine all of that coming down on Mary. And by the way, she's not married, so there's that too, right? There's laws. But Mary modeled a response for us that is very helpful. Mary did not let fear and negativity consume her. She acknowledged God's grace in her life. She didn't scream. She didn't faint. She did not refuse and run away. She didn't have a major blow-up. Mary sang in response to all of this news. She sang a song, and she had the state of mind to sing a song that was similar to the song that Hannah sang when she found out that she was going to be having a baby. Even in that stressful, crazy moment, Mary was able to ground herself and find her place in this whole biblical thing. She was able to find God's grace in her life instantly and not let emotions consume her. Mary found grace in her life and responded to that grace in the moment in a positive way. And as far as we know, she was pretty healthy after that. Well, you might be sitting here saying, well, that was Mary. I am not Mary. Well, who was Mary? Now, Mary has this really high up there on a pedestal image in our minds. She's Jesus' mother. I can never be that. But we have to look at who Mary was when God chose her. Mary, to this point, was as ordinary as they get, maybe even less than ordinary in people's eyes. Mary was a poor girl living in a town with no significance. In fact, the town that Mary was living in was so insignificant that it wasn't even on maps in the days that she lived. She literally was from nowhere. You couldn't find where she lived if you opened up a map. She wasn't wealthy, she wasn't a male, and she wasn't famous, which, you know, kind of all the check marks of an important person in those days. She didn't check any of them in human eyes. But today we're not talking about human eyes. We're talking about divine eyes. God saw something in her that was special. You might think you're not worthy of that same grace. But that's why it's called grace. Grace is God's favor even if and when you don't deserve it. And God's grace is offered to everyone. God knew exactly what God was doing by choosing somebody like Mary. That's a message for all of us, that we are all able to be used by God. If Mary could be, so could we. It doesn't depend on status or gender or race or wealth or anything. Mary was chosen simply because she was a good and humble servant. And for that same reason, God chooses you. The lesson here is that God's grace was given to Mary, who others would have described as nothing incredible. But through God's eyes, God saw something special. God's grace came to her in massive and huge ways anyway, because God's grace is not dependent on any of those earthly things. Likewise, God's grace is coming to you, regardless of how much you do or do not have. The second lesson here is that we are called to respond to God's grace in the moment, in every moment, even and perhaps especially in bad moments. This is important. Our bodies actually physically respond to negative things like stress and sadness and anger. And Mary perfectly modeled how to respond to big and scary events in a positive and graceful way. Look for God's grace and respond quickly in every moment. Remember, the Holy Spirit is always here, always with you. And the promise of the Spirit is that the Spirit will teach us and remind us of everything we will need to know. Like Mary, in those scary moments, think of God's word. Search it for your peace and comfort. Now, everyone's going to have their own way of dealing with life. You don't have to, there's no textbook on how to do this stuff. You've got to find your healthy way, just like Mary did. Because of God's grace and with faith in Jesus Christ, yes, you are able and you can do it. Amen.